But glory to God, he's still on the throne. Amen. Jesus is still alive. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And if you're feeling cold, go and cuddle somebody. See if they're any warmer. Praise his wonderful name. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Don't move stuff. My head's a shed. Glory to Jesus. You come to cuddle somebody to get warm. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through to 16. Can you hear me, Edwin? Alright, okay. As long as you can hear me, that's okay. I'm just checking up. If not, come and sit a bit closer. Good. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 through to 16. And this is what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how shall it be made salty again? It is good for nothing any more except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. He goes on to say, you are the light. A lamp. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, in other words, hide it out of sight, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And he goes on to add to that, he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I don't know if you've got anybody that's confident enough to translate into Nepalese. Is there anybody confident enough? Mary? Alicia? What do you reckon? I'll make it easy for you. I'll not rush on. Can you do it? Translate into Nepalese? At least they'll hear something. They'll get something of the flavour of what's being said. Yeah? She's smiling at me. Come on, then. Manny, can we just get the earphones out and everything for translating? You'll not have to stand up front, but... Look, you're better than me. Put it this way. Your Nepalese is better than my Nepalese. Would you agree? Okay, that's great. Would you get the stuff out? And then, if you want, you can either sit here and talk. You don't have to stand up front and face everybody. Okay, I'll not embarrass you that much. Isn't she lovely? She's a gem. Hallelujah. A diamond. And Father, yeah, just bring us that. Father, we just pray right now for Alicia. We pray, Lord, that you will help her to translate clearly. And Father, you'll help me to be clear and easy for her. And Father, I pray that this will be a blessing to her. And Father, you will turn back this blessing into double blessings on her life. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to get blessed and all. Hallelujah. That's all you need to. If you don't move back, you leave that on the seat or on your knee, and then just put that round you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, we're reading from... The battery's flat in that one. Okay, swap them over. Actually feels warm here. This is warm. It's warmer here. Do you know that? Honestly, it is. It's just warm here. Sukra? Good. Praise God. Hallelujah. So today, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through to verse 16. And my title today is Salt and Light. Salt and Light. Jesus called us to be the salt and the light of the world. What does he mean? Over the years, salt has been used as a preservative. You see, every one of us has salt on our table, in our food. Is that right? I know some people say, you know, doctors, I know about you guys. But the problem is, you know, doctors start turning around, it's not good for you. You cannot live without salt, believe it or not. And for instance, animals in Africa will travel hundreds of miles to visit a place where they can get salt minerals for their bodies. And they will lick the rocks to get the salt out. Are we okay? So salt is part of you and me. Have you noticed that if you have food that has not been salted, the moment you put some salt on it, it does something to the food. It brings a taste out. It brings a flavour, and it's not the flavour of salt. Well, I'm going to come back on that one. I've got one on that. I've got you one on that one. Patience says you can't eat it on its own. Let me tell you this. If you suffer from cramp, I don't know why you'll translate that, but you know, cramp, like, I get cramp here. It's from an injury in my back from many years ago. And I can be fast asleep in bed, and all of a sudden, I don't know whether it's you do this, and you're fast asleep and you stretch, and all of a sudden, I'm like, and I go out of bed that fast. It's like, agony, just absolute pain. I go to the kitchen. And I take some salt and I put it straight on my tongue. And within seconds, hallelujah. It's like a miracle cure. Works for cramps. Makes food tasty. Now, in the days of Jesus, salt was not like this. Salt was different. salt was cut out from what they call salt mines and from rocks which contain salt crystals. And so they used to go around with a very small bag made out of porous material so that water could pass through, and that it would pass through the salt and draw the salt out into the water. And so what they used to do, they used to have this small bag, and when they were cooking, they would put the bag into the cook pot and leave it there, and they would cook and it would draw the salt out, which would then flavour the meal. So when Jesus says, when the salt has lost its flavour, its savouring ability, its ability to make food taste nice, then he said, it's fit for nothing else than to be thrown away and to then be crushed as just ordinary rock under our feet. Jesus saying is that you are the salt of this world. You are the ones that will make this world different. This world is bland without Jesus. How do I know it's bland without Jesus? Because they're turning to toys, riches, power, drugs, women. Because life is bland without the excitement and the pleasure of knowing Jesus. Yeah? You see, people are just, they're looking for something. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that God is good. Salt's good for us in the right doses. Too much salt's not good for the heart and the blood pressure. But we need it as well. But Jesus said, be the salt. Don't lose the flavour. In other words, don't become washed out. Don't lose your passion for the gospel. Don't lose the passion of the power of the gospel of Jesus. Let that word be alive. Let it be a quickening word that is in you that will change things around you, that will change circumstances. Patience said she believes God is filling the places. Filling this place. Seats will be full. I've seen that. I'm believing that. But when you look in the natural, all seems to be going the other way. But we're not looking in the natural. We're looking at the supernatural. You know, when it reminds me of the prophet, when the enemy decides they're going to take the prophet Elisha captive. So they say, right, we're going to surround him. And so he wakes up, well, his servant wakes up in the morning. And he goes out to get water. And he throws a panic. Whoa, we're surrounded by a mighty army. So he dashes into the prophet and shakes him and wakes him and says, Master, Master, you've got to come out. We're in serious trouble. Elisha's never been in serious trouble. He's been in trouble. But it's never serious because God's with him. And we might have trouble, but it's never serious because God is with us. We might have a problem, but it's not too big for God, because God is with us. So Elisha steps out and has a look, and he says, wow, fantastic. His servant says, what do you mean fantastic? We've got these warriors, they're coming for us. He says, no, he says, Lord, he says, you see, he prays, he says, Lord, let my servant's eyes be open to the realm of the Spirit. Let my servant's eyes be open to the things of the Spirit realm. And suddenly his eyes are opened, and he can see behind that army is an even bigger army of angelic beings who are on his side. And suddenly he says, let this army, this physical earthly army, be blind. And instantly their eyes were closed. And then he took them captive. He took them back to the king. And so he said to his prophet, grab hold of the first one's hand. He said, and you grab that one's hand. And then you grab this one's hand. And then he said, you're going to put your phone down a minute. And then he said, come on. And now we're going to lead them. We're going to lead them to the king. And now they can't go anywhere, because they can't see. They have to follow us. And wherever we go, they have to follow us. They have to keep following me all the time, because they are now captives through the power. Hey. I'm going to have to pray for you, brother. And they're captive by the power of God. God is a good God, and God has plans for each and every one of us. And that if we will allow God to move in power in our lives, if we will be the salt, keeping the word of God, and if your salt is beginning to lose its flavor, go into the word. Dig out some more salt. Be fresh. Be flavorsome to the word. Be powerful. Be the flavor to the world today. In the Old Testament, salt was used with the offerings. Offerings were given, and salt was always playing an important part. In the days of the Roman army, at times, their wages, they got paid in salt. That's how precious and important salt was in the times and the days of Jesus. It was rich, it was like gold to them. It was important for their well-being. It was important because the salt would preserve the meat. We use it to preserve meat, don't we? Grace and I once took a trip by car to Turkey, and we've gone for just over 3 weeks. We didn't have a freezer in the car. We had a cool box, and that was the best we could do. And in a Muslim country, there's one thing that you can't get. And what's that, Charles? Nice bacon sandwiches. That's the one. Nice bacon sandwiches. And so we went to the butcher's, and we took a piece of salted ham on the bone, because it keeps it even better. And we took it, and it was wrapped in this muslin, and we kept it. And every day we would cut slices of a ham for breakfast. We arrived in Istanbul, in Turkey, a Muslim country. And there were some Danish people there. Well, you know what Danes like? They like ham. And all of a sudden, as we were cooking one morning, this lady came by. She went, "What have you got?" We said, "Ham." She says, "You didn't buy that here, did you?" We said, "No, we brought it with us." But it lasted. And it lasted for 3 weeks because it had been salted. It had been preserved. The church today should be salted. The church is to be preserved. The church is important to the nations. Who's the church? We're the church. You are the church. You are the church. And we are important in today's society. We are, I'll say it again, we are important in today's society. If we will take on the power and the presence of the Word of God, then we are very important today's society. And that's the thing. We don't want to be just, oh well, we just come to church, fill a few seats and have a nice service. We want to be an empowered church. A church with authority. A church with an anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. His anointing on each and every one of us. Because when God called you, He chose you. He picked you out. He said, "You're special." And He said, "You are my anointed ones." In other words, the Christ lives in you. The Christ lives in me. It is when Christ lives in us and through us, we shall see lives changed. We shall see the power of God moving in our lives. You see, today, each and every one of us are disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus. And in following Him, we are the preservers of the truth and of the power of the Word of God. We are preservers of Christ's anointing. We are the ones who have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus. Just wave if I'm all right. Just honestly, just wave, and if you, we're commissioned, we've been appointed, we've been selected by the Lord Jesus for a mission. You're not here just to fill a seat, but you're here to be a witness, to give some quality to today's society who live in absolute degeneration. And God is calling you to be the quality, to bring the flavor of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ into men and women's life. He goes on to say that you are the light of the world. If we light just one candle, turn out the lights and light just one candle, it will help us find our way. Is that true? Okay, you got it? I don't know what you were stuck on then. But the candle will light our way. For instance, Where's my bag gone again? Oh, it's here. I need some help. I need a volunteer. Would you like to volunteer for me a minute, Brunil? Come on, sir. Give him a great big hand. Come on. Come and stand here. Now then, if you've no light, if you've no candle, and this suddenly happens, right, Pranil, what I want you to do now is to find the way out of the church. Go. Okay, Pranil, that's great. Thank you. You may take that off. See where you are. Give him a round of applause. Thank you, mate. You did good, actually. I thought you were going to make your way out at one stage. Can you see, though, when it's dark, how do you know the way? How can you find the way of escape? Our way of escape is Christ Jesus, the cross. Today, the world out there is blindfolded. It can't see. It's either blinded by the lights of the world, it's blinded by greed, it's blinded by possessions. And when it's blinded, and when it's blinded, as Pranil demonstrated, it's trying to find its way. And it makes the wrong turn. Yeah? Makes the wrong turn. And today, you and I are the light of this world. Jesus lives. Jesus lives inside. And the light of Jesus comes out. And we're able to say to the world, follow me. And we lead them to Christ. We lead them to the very presence of God. And when we lead them into the presence of God, they receive new light. They receive new purpose. They receive new vision. And it came because you and I were that initial light. It says in the Bible, you know, a city that is placed on a hill, you can't hide it. Even when it's dark, and if there are torches burning, people will see it from a distance. They say, look, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. And today, we as the Church of Jesus Christ should be lights where people should be saying, that's where I need to go. That's where I need to go. That's where I need to be to find help, to find security, to find Christ as my Lord and my Saviour. That's where we need to go. You know, no matter what you do to salt, you cannot destroy it. You can crush it. Some of you have seen large salt crystals and you can crush it down to a powder. And guess what? It is still salt. It still tastes like salt. I read today that you can put salt up to a temperature of 800 degrees Celsius. That is 8 times hotter than boiling water. And it will still be salt. Whoa. You know, Daniel went through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego went through the fire. And the only thing they lost was the rubbish, the bondages. They came out as the salt and the light to the King. God is calling us to be salt, calling us to be light, but it needs us to be active. Salt, the moment you put it on your food, becomes active. It changes the flavour of the food. You don't have to sit there and think, I wonder how long it'll take. Do you? You do that, and then you go into, that's better. Immediately, there's a difference. And when we, the church, are around, there should be an immediate difference as the power of God works through our lives. When we were in Romania, God was working through us and there was immediate differences in people's lives, and we saw it. Today I spoke to Danut, the young gypsy boy. I didn't know until today that a few weeks ago his 18-year-old sister, who's not a Christian, had killed herself. She was in a relationship with another boy that neither sides of parents wanted it to happen. There was a lot of pressure and there was a lot of pressure between the families. There was fighting going on. And she became pregnant through the relationship. And she got to a point where she took 40 pills and committed suicide. 18 years old. A life that has not yet lived. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. God called us and said to us, with long life, I will satisfy you. Not only will He give us long life, but He wants to give you a life that is satisfying. You got it? A life that is satisfying. A life that is fulfilled. A life that has a purpose. Something meaningful to live for. the Apostle Paul said this: for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The Christian life should have a purpose, should have a plan, should have the anointing, should have the power of God flowing through it. That everybody that we come into contact, we will affect and we will change their lives. Amen? Do you believe that? You see, God has called each and every one of you. He's called you one to prayer. He's called you one to the Word of God, and He's called you to be a witness, to be the light, to be the salt, not to be ashamed. He's not called you to shame. God has not called you to shame you. He's called you and appointed you. He's put you in a position of blessing. He's put you in a position of authority. You see, He's called you to be, here's a good one for you, an ambassador. You got that one? An ambassador. A government official in a very high position who represents the country. So that wherever, whatever country you are in, you represent the Queen and the government of England. You got there? Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate that, you know. And so we represent the King of Kings in this country. We're the ambassadors. We have the royal robes. We represent the King of Kings in this country. And wherever we go, we represent the King of Kings. And we carry His authority with us wherever we go. Amen? Called, equipped, so that we will fulfill His calling, fulfill His command, fulfill His direction in and through our lives. So when you walk the cities, streets, when you, I know a lot of you do some walking for exercise. Who goes out for a walk for an exercise? Yeah. So when you're out walking, start praying. Lord, there are people in these houses that need You. There are people who need a touch, yeah? And only Jesus can change them. But we have to share the Jesus. We begin with prayer. We begin to plow the ground. Or dig the ground. We dig the ground. We're getting it ready for the seed, the Word of God. We're getting those people ready by prayer. We're praying. And everybody can pray. Amen? Everybody can pray. We meet on a Wednesday for prayer here. We meet at 2 o'clock on Thursday for prayer at Flintwood. and we pray for the streets, we pray for the people in the area, we pray for the youth club. We want to plunder hell. We want to take from hell the captives and bring them into the kingdom of God for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, tomorrow, the day after, and forever, be the salt and be the light in this world. Amen. Who's going to be salt and who's going to be light? Hallelujah. Be the salt. Be the light today. Be a problem to the devil. Don't let the devil be a problem to you. You take the high ground. You know, you get on the high ground and say, "Devil, you are under my feet." I like it. Yeah. Did I make you jump? Sorry, mate. Under my feet. Take your place. We're not scared of the devil. He's scared of us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we stand and we pray as we walk the streets. Let's drive out. We either do one or two things. We either get the drug dealers saved or we drive them out of this place. But they've got two options. Either get saved or be gone in the name of Jesus. Let's clean this area for Christ and let's see the Prince of Peace come in this area for the glory of God. And it's only going to happen when you and I will be the salt and be the light. When we will pull together and see this neighborhood change, where the thieves won't dare come into the place because there will be such a presence of the power of God that when they walk in this area, they're like, "Whoa, I'm leaving. There's something about this place." Amen. You and I change this. You and I have to make this happen through the Word of God, through prayer, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? We're on target. We're on target. Things might seem to be coming against us. That just tells me we're on target. We're on target. We're going to hit bullseye. We're going to see the work of the kingdom of darkness destroyed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me? Amen. Are you with me? Praise God. He's with me. Hallelujah. Praneel's with me. Praise God. In his school, we want to see young men and young women saved for Jesus. What I am talking about now is not just for me, but it is for his future, for the younger generation's future. That's what we're talking about. The younger generation's future. This is what we're talking about. Alicia's future. Praneel's future. Benita's future. Hinges on the church being proactive and seeing lives changed in the name of Jesus. Everybody stand, please. Just lift your hands. Praise God. If you believe this word is for you, then what I want you to do is, I'm just going to pray a prayer. I want you to pray it with me. Lord Jesus, you can pray it in Nepalese. Pray it out aloud. Let principalities hear what you're saying. And I know the devil understands Nepalese. Lord Jesus, I take my stand today to be salt and to be light, and I will be today the light of this world. As Christ dwells in me, I will not be afraid of principalities and power of the devil, but I shall stand firm and strong in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will promise to declare the power of your word in this area for the praise and the glory of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah.